Great up here in the pulpit, a Snickers bar. Refuel and win, it says. Have y'all think I need to refuel right now? Would you raise your hand? Hey, y'all would like to refuel for me. Would you raise your hand? See, that's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? That's just ridiculous. Anyway, very, very good. Exodus chapter 28, we'll read the opening five verses. This is as far as we'll get tonight. I may not get that far, okay? You're starting to get used to that, right? Exodus 28, verse 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. These are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. You'll notice three times in these five verses, there's a phrase mentioned. It's the title of my message. It's found in verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4. It's the three words, the priest office. The priest office. And I preach to you on that subject tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Now would you teach us, I pray, please. Speak to me. Help me to preach this with power and understanding and unction and wisdom. And may we leave here with a firm grasp on these five verses, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to chapter 28 in our study through Exodus, we see, beginning in this chapter, that the priest's office is on display in the opening five verses. In these five verses, this phrase, the priest's office, is used three times. And the priest's office was an exalted position. As a matter of fact, the duties of this office included burning incense on the golden altar, keeping a fire burning constantly on the altar of burnt offering, inspecting unclean persons, instructing the people in the law, offering spiritual sacrifices, interceding for others, living a holy life, etc., etc., etc. The priest's office was an exalted position that is rich in lessons for us today. And there's many lessons just in these five verses that we want to bring out for us tonight. And I remind you, every time the Word of God is opened, God is speaking. This is not my word, it's God's word. God is saying something to me in these five verses. He's saying something to you. What is He saying? Let me give you three things tonight, just get as far as I can. Maybe I'll get through it. First of all, let's notice the priest's office. First of all, notice its calling. We see this in verse 1. I'm not going to read these verses again for time's sake, but when I refer you to a verse, if you'd like to read it while you're listening to me explain it to you, it might help you a little bit here. The first thing that the Lord spoke to my heart about in this passage was how the priests were called. How they were called and who called them to this exalted office. Now get this, God called Aaron and his sons. Aaron was to be the high priest and his sons were to be the other priest. Now there's three things about this calling I want you to see to help us apply this to our own life. Talking about the calling of God on our life, if you will. He called Aaron and his sons to be the priest, but as we talk about the priest office calling, I want you to think about God's calling in your life. Let me give you three things about this calling. First of all, it was by God. We notice in verse number 1 that this calling was by God, not man. We see all of this in verse number 1. In this verse, we see Aaron and his sons, get this now, did not seek this position. They did not try to elevate themselves to this position. But rather, they were called by God to this position. Now get this, one man said this, and I like how he said it. God was the one who determined who would serve and where they would serve and what their service would be. That principle still applies to God's people. Now get this, God has a plan for our lives. And it behooves us to learn that plan and follow it. In the spiritual realm, this man keeps talking here, too many in the ministry today are self-called instead of God-called. And it's just as bad, now get this, it's just as bad to be presumptuous in a call as it is to be disobedient to a call. May I say this to you? If God doesn't call you to it, you better not do it. Amen. But if He does call you, you're living in sin if you don't do it. We see here that this call, the priest office, those who are allowed to minister in the presence of God, if you will, getting closer and closer to God, that office today, I'm talking about right here in this day in the Old Testament, it was by God. Secondly, it was by grace. Now you say, what do you mean here? Notice who God called. God called Aaron, and God called his sons. I like what one man said right here. He said he didn't call Moses, not Moses, but Aaron. The inferior brother was the one selected for this great favor. Get this now. Moreover, the tribe, the Israelite tribe to which Aaron belonged, was one of the least honorable of the 12. It was under the curse because it was the tribe of Levi. And if you want to see why it was under the curse, it was because of Levi's cruelty. You can find that in Genesis 49 verses 5 to 7. Because of his cruelty, his tribe fell under a curse, if you will. And guess where the high priest was coming from? From the cursed tribe, the tribe of Levi. Get this. One man said, it's not Reuben the firstborn, nor Judah whom his brethren should praise, nor Joseph the fruitful bough, but Levi was to be the priestly tribe. How this exhibited the sovereignty of divine grace. Finally, the matchless and wondrous grace of God in appointing Aaron to be the high priest is seen, now get this, in the fact that at the very time God is telling Moses, at this very time when God is naming Aaron as the high priest, Aaron was taking lead down below in the idolatrous worship of a golden calf. Let that speak to your heart just a moment. Let it sink in. Here God is up on the mountain with Moses. He's sharing all this with Moses. And he says, here's who I want to be the high priest. The one man of anybody alive on planet Earth that I'm going to allow on the Day of Atonement, I'm talking about to bring the blood into my presence, come behind the inner veil, and come to where I am, my presence, between the cherubim, on top of the altar there. The only man I'm allowing, his name is Aaron, and God knew at the time he was calling him that he was leading in an idolatrous relationship and worship of a false idol down at the foot of the hill. You know what that tells me? God is a God of amazing grace. This call of God was not because Aaron deserved it. The call of God was because God is a gracious God. You know what I'm glad of tonight? I am thrilled that I serve a God of grace. Because if I did not, I would be burning in hell right now. And God has allowed, He's called me. Brother Gary, He's called you. He's called Bob. He's called people, men, amen, men. He's called men to spend the rest of their lives doing nothing but telling the world what He said. What an amazing grace act of Almighty God. It was by God, it was by grace. Number three, it was a call unto God. Let me show you what I mean here. Notice the Lord said, the priest office. Notice what he said it was to do. He said the priest's office was to minister unto who? Look at verse number 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto who? Who's speaking? God is. Now wait a minute. I thought Aaron was standing before God for the people. I thought he was representing the people to God. Was he? Yes or no? Yes. He was making atonement on the Day of Atonement. That's what a priest does. That's what a high priest does. He stands in between you and God as a mediator. But his first duty was not to mediate. His first duty was unto the Lord. God said, here's what I want him to do. He's to minister unto me. That's what I want him to do. The primary function of this calling was unto God. I put this in my notes right here because God struck me. Oh, that God called people would learn this lesson today. It's not a calling unto self. It's not a calling unto others. But it's a calling unto God. No matter what the calling is, if it's to dig ditches, if God called you to dig those ditches, it is not to dig the ditches first. It's a calling unto God first. Do you understand what I'm saying to you here? I'm trying to get this across, that the primary purpose of their ministry was to serve the Lord. We must always remember that our divine calling, whatever it may be, our divine calling is primarily for God's honor and God's glory. It may have many secondary purposes. Hey, the pastor has many secondary purposes, okay? The staff members have many secondary purposes. There may be many secondary purposes, but the main purpose of any calling is for the glory of God. It's unto the Lord. Whatever you do, whatever God calls you to do, for Aaron it was the priest's office. What is it for you? Whatever it is, whatever that office is God is calling you to, whatever it is a call first of all unto God. If, because I don't trust my flesh, and I'm not going to get up and try to say anything that in the flesh is ridiculous to say. Here's what I'm saying. If this pastor ever quits, and if this pastor ever stops, it's because my ministry has lost that focus that I just said. It will be because I was in it for that or for this or unto this or unto that. Let me tell you something, friends. All the untos can tear you apart. But when you realize God's called me to do this for Him, it helps you stick by the stuff, friends. The priest office, first of all, it's calling. It's by God, by grace unto God. Number two, let's notice its clothing. This is brought out in verses 2-5. The second thing we see about the priest office is the special clothing. It's called garments. The word garments is used here, clothing, that the Lord demanded for them to wear. Now, as we look at this clothing, we can glean some lessons for our lives here. We glean for our lives under the calling that our call needs to be by God, and whatever it is, it's by His grace because we're not worthy, and it's unto God, do it for the Lord. Secondly, we glean here from the clothing, the garments. Let me give you three lessons here, okay? Number one, these are points of application. First of all, God's call is a call to holiness. We see this in verses 2-4. Now notice, thou shalt make holy garments. Holy garments. Now when you read verses 3-4, you'll find out that it talks about holy garments and that they may be consecrated, verse number 3. See, when it says that the priest's garments were to be holy garments, it was highlighting the fact that those who were to come into the presence of God were to be set aside as holy. In verse 3, we see how the Lord said Aaron's garments were to consecrate him. The word consecrate. That word means to purify him, to sanctify him, to take him and set him apart. It's like this. This is what the word holy means. It means just like, let's say that God has sanctified and consecrated this glass of water. If he's done that, that means he has taken it and he has set it aside for a purpose. And if it's going to fulfill that purpose, it must be pure, it must be clean, it must be holy. Now, friends, listen to me. The holy life is being ridiculed around the world. There are churches dropping standards and everything. Now, listen, standards can become legalism. We're not talking about legalism, but we are talking about living like a Christian ought to live. God's children should be holy. That is the word of the living God. And we see here once again that God's call is a call to holiness. We see that in the garments, in the clothing. Their clothes, God said, they're to be holy clothes. They're to be holy garments. And they're to consecrate and set apart my priest. J. Vernon McGee said it well. He said, anything that's set apart for God is holy. Suppose you have $10 in your pocketbook and you want to give $1 to the Lord's work. You may have received that $10 from a store. The store may have received it from a gambler, who in turn may have received it from a prostitute, who may have received it from a thief, and so on. But the minute you set that money aside for God, it is holy. Anything set aside for God is holy. One man said it this way, the distinctiveness of the garments along with their beauty would be a constant reminder to the priest themselves of their holy station and its demand for consecrated living. In other words, when they looked at themselves and how they were dressed, it was God setting them apart to be holy. Friends, we need to be holy. 1 Peter 1:16. It is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You want to be like God? I do. Remember the Imitators of God series? You want to be like God? If you're going to be like God, you're going to be holy. It's that simple. Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Number one, under this, their clothing, we see God's call is a call to holiness. Number two, we see God's call is a call to glory and beauty. We see this in verse 2. Notice this now. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron and thy brother for glory and for beauty. You know, may the Lord help me explain what I'm trying to get across here. May the Lord help me explain what he's saying, okay? Not what I'm trying to get across. Notice in verse 2 that God said the holy garments would be for glory and for beauty. Now, when you read these five verses, you'll notice the materials used were gold, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen. Sound familiar? These were the same colors that were used on different items, if you will, within the tabernacle. One man said it this way, these garments were to dignify the office of the priest and give honor to the Lord. Now, as a side note, today there's an emphasis on dressing down the preacher and anyone else who stands before the people in serving the Lord. You may turn your television on, I hope you never visit one on purpose, but you may visit a church one of these days and the preacher gets up in flip-flops, shorts, and a tank top. Are you listening to me? I don't think that's pleasing to God. I don't believe that's pleasing to the Lord at all. Now, I am not saying that ministers who don't have the best that they can wear, I'm talking about some men, they wear just what they have, and God knows that. But may I say this to you? I wish I didn't have to dress like this ever again. Amen. I'll amen myself, friends. I hate ties. Throw them away. I wish I didn't have to wear a suit, coat, or anything else. Let me tell you why I do. Because of who I represent. Amen. The clothing should represent dignity and honor. God said this, when you come into my presence, Aaron, now he's given Moses these instructions that will be given to Aaron, you dress the way I'm telling you to dress, and these garments, they're going to be beautiful, they're going to be glorious. Now I'm not asking, is this beautiful and glorious? Please, okay? But I will say this, it doesn't get, for me, much better than this, okay? This is as good as it gets, is what I'm trying to say. Somebody says, oh no, is that the truth, you know? What am I saying to you? This is a side note. I'm not trying to get off on this, but I think this applies here. Ministers should dress in a way that honors their office and honors the Lord. If you dress down to reach the world, is that what Jesus would do? Does Jesus become something he is not to reach somebody else? No. So we see that God's call is a call to glory and beauty. Let me get back to the main thought that I believe is trying to be stressed here. I quote J. Vernon McGee, things do not have to be ugly, friends, just because they're used in the service of God. This is J. Vernon McGee. I personally resent that the world, the flesh, and the devil seem to get everything that's beautiful. Why can't we give God some of the beauty? He's the one who made beauty. If you don't think he splashes color around, watch a sunset. Or look at the leaves in the fall. Look at the heavens during a clear sunny day and then watch them during a storm. God majors in colors and beauty, and these garments for the priest were to be beautiful and for the glory of God. The point is, God deserves our best. That's the point. He wants our best. And we are to honor him in the way we appear before him. His call is a call not only to holiness, but it's a call to beauty and a call to glory. Then number three under this, we see that God's call comes with God's enablement. Boy, I like this point right here. God's call comes with God's enablement. This is all coming out about their garments, their clothing. Look at verse 3 and notice this. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, notice this now, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Do you see it? Do you see this? God said this, I have a high priest I want, his name is Aaron. That's God's grace. When he comes into my presence, and then the priest, his sons, when they come in to perform their duty, it's unto me. I want them beautiful. I want them glorious. I want them holy. Oh, and by the way, Moses, I've already given some people among the tribes the spirit of wisdom that they need to make what I'm telling you that they need to wear. This is a beautiful truth. Beautiful truth. This goes to show that God gifts those to get his work and will done. One man said, those who made the garments, I like this now, those who made the garments were just as called to their task as the priests were called to theirs. Did you get that? Who called the priest? God. Who called the ones who made the garments? God. And in God's eyes, the high priest was no more important than the one who made the clothing, because they were both doing God's will. But the point is that whatever God calls you to do, he enables you to do it. He does not say, I want you to go preach and may somebody help you along the way. He doesn't do that. If he calls you, he gives you what you need to accomplish the task, no matter what it is. May I say this to you? I can't say nobody else knows it better than I do because I can't judge other people's hearts, but I can make a strong statement. I know this lesson pretty well. Because I am aware, as you've heard me say time and time again, if you've been here for a long time, I am well aware if God does not help me, I cannot get my name out of my mouth. I'm a stutterer. I stutter. I get nervous. I start stuttering. I start repeating myself. Maybe that's why my sermons take 2 and 3 parts, because I say the same thing 4 and 5 times. I'm a stutterer. The devil tries to use that to stop me. But I've learned a great lesson with it, and I'm still learning it. What I have that I feel the devil's trying to use to stop me is the same thing that God uses many times to get me to trust Him. If I don't trust Him and He doesn't help me, I cannot turn and say, turn with me, my name is. I'm talking to you right now only because God's helping me. And if He can help me, He can help anybody. I mean that, friends. I'm not just saying that. It's a fact. It's a fact. Whatever God calls you to do, He will give you the ability to get it done. If you don't have the ability for your calling, maybe that's not God's call for your life. Amen, friends. Because whatever God calls you to do, He enables you to get it done. It is such a blessing to realize that whatever God calls, He gives the strength to get it done. May I say this to you? There are times when I feel so inadequate. I'm getting personal with you here, okay? I'm letting you see my heart here just a minute. There are times when I feel so inadequate to be the pastor of Buffalo Ridge. Honestly. There are times when I go home and I tell my wife, Becky, what am I doing? Sometimes I look at her and I say, I don't know what I'm doing. And God just keeps pouring it on anyway. He keeps blessing anyway. He keeps saving people anyway. He keeps discipling people anyway. Because He reminds me, it's not what you know, son. It's who you know. It's not what you think you can do. It's relying on me to do it through you. This is the call of God. It's not a call for you to do what you can. It's a call for you to do what you cannot. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? God doesn't call you because you're worthy. He doesn't call you because you can do it. He calls you because He wants to find somebody who finally admits, God, why are you calling me? Why did you call me? I can't do this. See, there are many people who swallow that lie. It's not a lie, but it becomes a lie. Let me explain. When somebody says, I can't do it, I get excited. And I'm like, that's why I think you should. Because I know you're going to trust God to do it. But you know what some people do? They say, I can't do it. True! But instead of trusting God to do it through them, they allow the devil to keep whispering that in their ear, and they never step out by faith and trust God to do something that they know God wants them to do. Does this make sense what I'm saying? God's call comes with God's enablement. Has God called you to do something? May I give you one thing? It's my heartbeat. I think you know what it is by now. God's called every one of us to be a soul winner. Amen. He's called every one of us to tell others about Jesus. Amen? Why do some people not do it? I heard it. They're scared. They think they don't know what they're doing. Oh, what if I freeze up? Oh, what if they ask me a question I don't know how to answer? Oh. Here's the whole thing. God called you. God has enabled you. He's called the Holy Spirit. And God will help you when you step out and obey. I'm going to embarrass her maybe, but she's embarrassed to work here anyway. This is one reason why I'm so thrilled that Charlotte took Mrs. Lashley's class when Miss Lashley felt it was time for her to step down. And I approached Miss Charlotte. And I've not really gotten permission to share this, but I've shared it before anyway, so I'm sharing it again. And I went to her and asked her to pray about it, if you will. And here's basically what she said. She said, "I just don't think I can do that." And I said, "That's why I want you to take it." And if you ladies are in her class, I would have World War III if I tried to remove her. Can I get an amen, ladies? Yes. Let me tell you why God's blessing that class. Because God's the one teaching it. That's why. Because she knows she can't do it without Him. Let me ask you a question. You trying to do something without God's strength? That's when I get frustrated. Let me tell you, when I get frustrated, down and out, everything else, when I'm in the flesh. But when the Lord reminds me of His strength, it revives my heart and soul. I'm not going to get through this message. But I do think this is a good place to come to an end right here. Jesus said in John 15:5, He said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." What can I do without Christ? Nothing. James 1:5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." To this point in this message, in these five verses, we've noticed that the priest's office, two things about it. Its calling. Its calling was by God. God called them to it. It was by grace. They were not worthy, and it was unto God. It was unto God first. We've noticed their clothing, and in studying just their clothing, their garments, we learn three things about His call, continuing to, just about how God calls people. It's a call to holiness. He said it's to be holy, holy garments. Set them apart for me. It was a call to glory and beauty. It was to be beautiful in the sight of God. And it was a call that God enabled others to help fulfill it. Now I'm closing with this, or coming to a close. God is putting things in our heart. We're trying to discern His will, trying to, okay, what about that ministry, this ministry, this ministry, this ministry? I've learned recently with the Coxes, and I've learned with the Hubbards, I've learned recently that if God is in something, He's already working on somebody's heart to take it over. I've learned it once again. And if you're sitting here tonight and say, "You know, I believe God would have me do that. I just don't think I can. I think God wants me to do it, but I'm scared to death. And I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't get it. I don't even know where to start." You're a prime suspect for a great worker for God. The devil will try to throw those same things at you to get you to sit over here and not do anything. God allows those things in your life to bring you to the point to where you say, "Lord, I get it. I can't. I know you can." Remember the story in the book of Joshua when Joshua found this man, the captain, he called him, and he didn't know who he was. And Joshua ran up to him and said, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" What a man. I mean, he didn't know if he's an enemy or not. He just went right up to him. "Who are you for? Are you on the enemy's side or are you on our side?" He said, "No." It wasn't a yes or no question. You know what that captain was saying? "I didn't come to take sides. I come to take over." It was a pre-incarnate visit from Jesus Christ. And here's what he said. "Take off your shoe." Not your shoes. "Take off your shoe." One. And according to my study, I brought this out when I preached through Joshua umpteen years ago. According to my study, when somebody would take a shoe off in the book of Ruth, if you took one shoe off, you know what you were saying? "I can't, but I know you can." Could it be that the captain was telling Joshua, "General, leader of the army, are you willing to admit to me? I can't. But I know you can. You know what I'm praying for at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Some one-shoed Christians just like this. Some people who take a shoe off, and every time they step on that bare foot, they're saying, God, I can't, but you can. I can't, you can. I can't, you can. Let me ask you a question. How many shoes you got on tonight? I want to have one. And every now and then, I have to kick them both off because I feel like I'm on holy ground. This is the lesson so far of the opening five verses of chapter 28. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will help us to be one-shoed Christians. Help us, Lord, to realize that we cannot do it without you. And I pray tonight as we have this invitation that you will speak to our hearts. We thank you for your goodness. Would you bless? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they'll begin to play through softly. Are you in God's family? Have you trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? If you've never come to Christ, may today be the day of salvation for you. Or tonight, if you're God's child, I want to ask you some questions. Are you living a holy life? Are you separated unto God? Are you consecrated? And let me ask you this question. Going back to these points that we went over tonight, is there a young man here or a young lady here or an older man or an older lady on a Wednesday night service that says, Jody, I feel that God is calling me to do something special? Now, that something special could be, if you're a young man, maybe a preacher, maybe a missionary, a young lady, a missionary, a Christian school teacher, marry a preacher. My wife began praying for her husband, which ended up being me, praise God. She started praying for me as a little girl. Maybe you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, I'm a man or a woman, and I believe God may be calling me into some specific office, spiritual office. And you say, if God's calling me to do this, I'm willing and I'm ready. Is there anybody like that that feels called of God specifically? Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. If you raise your hand, I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? If you raise your hand to that, would you look right here? That call that you're looking at me for is a call by God. This is Him. You understand? It's a call by grace. We're not worthy of it. And it's a call unto Him first. You understand? You get it? You understand that? It's not a call to serve others. That's a byproduct. It's a call to serve God. Without it, without serving Him, you'll quit. You'll stop. If your motive is people, they let you down. If your motive is me, I'll let you down. But if your motive is God, He never fails. I want to encourage you. Even if you've already made this public, I want you to come and seal it. If you've never made this public, you may be saying, I don't know what it is. I'd like to ask Brother Bob if you wouldn't mind to come. I'd like to ask Mrs. Seaman if you wouldn't mind to come. And I want you to come. I'd like to ask Miss Charlotte to come if you wouldn't mind. Brother Brad, why don't you be available if you don't mind? Brother Gary, why don't you be available for this if you don't mind? And if you're looking at me right now, I want you to find one of these adults. We want to pray with you. And we want to help you. We want to help you. This could start something very great in your life. So I want you to come now. Would you do that? Teenagers, if there's anybody like that, come on. Come on now. Come talk to somebody. Come, ladies with a lady, a man with a man. It's, I believe God may be calling me to do something. I'm not, you might not even be sure what it is. Find one of these adults. Find one of these adults. Any teenagers looking at me now, come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come on now. I'd like to ask Miss Mullins if you wouldn't mind. Miss Mullins, if you'll come. Right here with Summer. I'd like you to get with Summer if you don't mind. Let's pray about this. Let's talk to God. Hey, this is a precious time. Precious time. Have you know that God's called you into something? Now, I hope you know if you're working that He's called you to do what you're doing. Have you folks that work in business or something like that know God put you there? Would you raise your hand? You know God put you there. If you raise your hand, I want you to look at me, please. That's not a call to make a paycheck. That's just a benefit from God. It's not a call to make your business go. If God called you there, He called you by grace to your work just like He called me to pastor. And He called you first unto Himself. We got a businessman's ministry going. Brother Bobby's leading this. And in the very near future, God willing, we want to crank this up, Brother Bobby. Because God wants to use you in your place of business. No question. No question. Why don't you come? You don't have to, but if God leads you, come and bring your business to the altar and say, God, help me serve you first. Help me do this for you first. And may everything else be secondary. May you be my motive. You be my goal. And would you bless this place of business? Come now. Come now. If God leads you to do this, come on. Let's talk to God. Get in the habit of praying, talking to the Lord, asking God to give you help and strength and enablement. Hey, if He called you, He enables you to get it done. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Amen. The priest office, what is that for you? For some of you, it's a stay-at-home mom. That's what my wife is. Do you realize God called her to do that just like He called me to work? A stay-at-home mom, if God calls you to do that, that's the will of God for your life. And it means something to Him. Raise them kids for Jesus. Whatever it is, find the call of God. Just like He had a will for Aaron, He has a will for you. Just like He had a will for the sons, He has a will for you. Give your life to it. This is God's will. It's the call of God to holiness, to beauty, and with His enablement. May the Lord add His blessing to this. Amen. I sense the Lord moving tonight. Keep moving. Amen. Amen. Our Father, we love You this evening. And we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy. And we thank You, Lord, that You call unworthy people into the will and work of God. That is Your grace. And we give You praise for that. Thank You, Lord, for calling me to preach. Help me to give my life to You. Finish the work that You've given me to do. Help my wife to finish the work that You've given her as a stay-at-home mom. What a great work she has for God, helping raise those precious children. May they turn out right. Help these who responded tonight to give their life to God, to do something special. Help them to be used of You in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we dismiss tonight, if you responded to the altar saying, I believe God's calling me to something special, I want you to come up here. I want to speak to you just a moment. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed. Bring somebody with you on Sunday. Invite people for Mother's Day with Dr. David Gibbs. You need to see me. I'll be up front for just a moment. God bless you. Thank you for coming this evening.